All right, would the marshal please call the case?
Good morning. Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Larkin, Judge Connolly, Judge Frisch, the Honorable Michelle A. Larkin presiding. First case, 821-1716, Randy Rock, appellant versus Ahmed Abdullah, MD, respondent, Essentia Health respondent.
Good morning, counsel. We're ready to have oral arguments. Each of you will have 15 minutes to present your oral argument. Appellant's counsel will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal time. Before you begin each leg of your argument, be sure to state your name for the record so we have that for the recording. And with that, we will hear from counsel for appellant Randy Rock. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. I still find it difficult with the Brady Bunch stuff here, but so I'll try to look at all of you if I can, but I appreciate being able to do this sitting at my desk. This case is actually kind of simple. We think there was error at the district court, and Popovich controls this. And what basically happened, Your Honors, is that the district court just didn't apply Popovich. And without getting into too much detail, because the briefs are both very thorough, I'll compliment Ms. Lohr as well. The basic concept, I'll give you the sentence of each, is that Popovich, the court found a hospital could be vicariously liable under a theory of apparent authority if it had previously taken steps that might cause third parties to believe that the agent, in this case the doctor, was acting on its behalf. And to that end, the court held the hospital could be vicariously liable when one, and I'm going to get to the facts supporting this in a second, the hospital held itself out as the provider of services to the patient in question, and two, the patient looked to the hospital for care and relied on the hospital to select qualified healthcare professionals to provide care. Ms. Rock had a breast surgery that went afoul. She went to Dr. Abdullah and was told by him that the surgery was going to be at Essentia. Now, where this gets into the error is quite simple. And I'm going to give you a little policy that the court described and as the followings of Popovich have also said. But I want to point you to respondent's brief themselves, because part of this is just plain disingenuous. Part of what my client's declaration affidavit says is that she went on the website of Essentia and looked to see what the deal was when the doctor told her that's where the hospital was going to be. They hold themselves out on their website, and on page 16 admit this. I'll read it. It's true the Essentia Health website lists a plastic surgery department at the Essentia Health Fargo Clinic at the address. One, to the public, they hold themselves out as having a plastic surgery department. So you, Your Honors, have to use common sense as a jury would to show their fact disputes and say, what does that mean? What's a plastic surgery department? Doctors, nurses, staff, a room, tables. Now let's go to the first thing that Essentia says on page 5. Essentia Health does not employ healthcare providers and does not provide healthcare services.
Isn't that sort of the key, counsel? I mean, when I look at Popovich, the thing that I think the district court found missing is the acting on behalf of. The agent acts on behalf of the principal. And I'm just not understanding the argument here that this physician was acting on behalf of essentially a surgical suite that he rents out at this facility.
But that's not what this goes towards, not what that says, or it goes towards what Essentia has held out. And on their website, Essentia holds out as we have a plastic surgery center. And so when an individual is going to have plastic surgery, they look to a hospital to see. So the connection is, do they rely upon this? Yes. The second part of that is, this is a fact question that the district court decided. They weighed evidence in favor of the defendant in this case, where there's a question, the same question you just asked. And that,
I think that's the other, go ahead.
Following up on that, as I understand Popovich, you know, first, let's step back. Popovich said, for the first time, we're expanding the common law to recognize a claim against a hospital based on apparent authority. And I think it's important, at least it's important to me, to note that in Popovich, they were focused on emergency room services. That's the syllabus point. That's the context. And so even if we give you, all right, this hospital in this case holds itself out as providing plastic surgery services. And I think that's a fair position to take. How do you get over the next hurdle, which is establishing some dispute of fact that shows that, you know, it was the hospital showing that your client picked this hospital to have plastic surgery and then the hospital picked the surgeon for, because that's what happened in Popovich. Popovich talks about the fact that when you're in a crisis and you need emergency medical care, you might pick which hospital you want to go to, but once you get to the emergency room, you're not picking your doctor. The hospital's picking the doctor for you. That seems very different than this case where your client picked her surgery and it just so happens that the surgery is going to occur at a particular hospital. So can you tell me where is the genuine issue of material fact that would allow reasonable people to conclude that, you know, the hospital where the surgery occurred somehow, you know, picked the surgeon for your client or led your client to select that surgeon, even though she went to the hospital having already selected the surgeon?
That goes towards what the, and I understand that, Your Honor, and you obviously know because the Court of Appeals is going to hear some of these now about apparent authority with hospitals, and it's going to be an emergency room or it's going to be an urgent care or it's going to be an x-ray. And that's one of the bigger questions here, which obviously you're going
to— Right, should we even be, it seems to me like you're asking this court to expand apparent authority as it applies to hospitals even one step further. But before we consider that, I need to ask you, how do you address the distinction between this case and Popovich?
And if you would,
the person goes to the emergency room and the emergency room picks the doctor and the Supreme Court says, that's how it works. You're relying on the hospital. This case, your client picks the surgeon and the surgeon picks the hospital. I'm not seeing anything the hospital did to cause your client to pick the surgeon.
I mean, that's a fact dispute, Your Honor. And that's, let me go towards two things about Popovich. One, as you read the case, it happened to be an emergency room case. If it was a surgery center case, it would have been a surgery center case. If it was urgent care, it would have been urgent care. And people would have been asking the same question. Obviously, I'm not asking you to expand it. I'm asking you to follow what the Supreme Court said about apparent authority and medical providers. That's a broad brush. That's
okay. Then how do we follow it as to the second part of the test?
I'm going to read you what the court said. And once again, I hate doing this, but I think it's the most appropriate way.
What the Supreme Court said?
Yes. There's strong public policy argument in favoring apparent authority to hold hospitals vicariously liable for the negligence of independent contractors. We've long recognized the parent, and here's where it comes, that the doctrine of apparent authority prevents businesses and individuals alike from placing secret limitations on their liability to third persons for the act or admission of their agents. Now, here's where the court takes that step. I'm going to use the word Alina because Alina was a defendant. Here, Alina acknowledges that many members of the public are unaware of the arrangements it has with physicians that provide services for emergency rooms located within Alina.
Emergency rooms. Go on.
Right, because that's what the case was, Your Honor. I mean, I can't argue. You know,
right, but you also can't argue that there's a significant distinction between emergency room services and elective surgery services.
I agree.
And I'll also read to you from Popovich the syllabus point. Number two, a plaintiff states a vicarious liability claim against a hospital for the professional negligence of an independent contractor in the hospital's emergency room based on a theory of apparent authority if, one, the hospital held itself out as a provider of emergency medical care. Okay, I'll give you that. We can say, well, this isn't necessarily limited to emergency medical care. So here we could say the hospital held itself out as a provider of elective surgery procedures. The second part of that test, the patient looked to the hospital rather than a specific doctor for care and relied on the hospital to select the personnel to provide the services. How do you possibly show that on this record where your client selected her surgeon at a different clinic and it just so happens that the surgeon said, here's where we're going to do your surgery?
And then the next step, Your Honor, I hope it answers your question. My client then looked on Ascension's website and found that they had held themselves out as a plastic surgery center and thought, as the general public would, this must be okay. This is where we're having surgery.
But that's not the test, Popovich. You need to show the patient looked to the hospital rather than a specific doctor for care and relied on the hospital to select the personnel to provide the services. Who selected the surgeon for your client? What you're arguing is my client selected a surgeon, then she saw that he was affiliated with this hospital, therefore she assumed he was a good surgeon. That's not the test of Popovich. And that very well may be what people do in their daily affairs, but that doesn't satisfy the test.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I don't agree with you. I'll finish the sentence. It would be contrary to the fundamental purpose of apparent authority doctrine to allow hospitals to escape vicarious liability for the negligence of independent contractors. And you can fill in plastic surgeon there, working in plastic surgery center they hold out, through these little known contractual relationships, even as the hospitals reap both reputational and financial benefits for their operation. So, Your Honor, I think there are fact disputes, and I think the district court erred in saying, hey, there's just no dispute here. And that's
I just follow up on, just as a practical matter, what Judge Larkin was referencing? In this surgical suite, I presume there is Dr. Abdullah, and there's probably also an anesthesiologist, right? And that anesthesiologist is probably not somebody who was specifically selected by your client, unlike the surgeon who performed the actual breast surgery, correct?
That's correct.
And so isn't like the anesthesiologist, say the anesthesiologist engaged in some malpractice behavior, isn't that more like Popovich, where you're going to use the center for surgery, but you're not selecting the anesthesiologist? That is a physician that is selected by the center, just like the ER doctor in Popovich. That's a physician that is selected by the hospital, not the patient. And isn't that a meaningful distinguishing factor between Dr. Abdullah and these other circumstances?
Your Honor, I don't think we know as we sit here today, because discovery wasn't totally completed, and you can see that in the order. That's not what we're here about. That Dr. Abdullah didn't choose and say, I always work with an anesthesiologist, or they have different rotating people. That's what the policy I just read about from Popovich was. The apparent authority, and I'm arguing obviously a little different. I understand where you're going, Your Honors, but the apparent authority is not a specific thing. Apparent authority is a bigger bubble. So the bigger bubble applies that we don't know if Abdullah chose him because he always uses the same anesthesiologist. You don't know if he brings his staff in. All we know is that the authority that was held out on the website was that we have a plastic surgery center. My client went to her doctor. The doctor said, I'm doing this surgery in the center. And lay people, that's what apparent authority is. It's you don't.
Can I just ask about the rule of law that you're asking us to apply? Is it the case that you're asking us to adopt a rule of law that anytime a physician is affiliated with a hospital or a medical center, that creates a genuine issue of material fact as to whether apparent authority exists within the meaning of Popovich?
Not in the general sense, because obviously that's too broad brush. But what I'm saying in this case is I think the district court made an error where my client gave a declaration saying she relied upon with the research she did looking at the hospital.
I'm not asking about the second part. I'm asking about the first part. Is an affiliation, what you're saying, is enough to create between the independent contractor and the principal? Are you saying that that's enough to get past summary judgment?
I think the way the Supreme Court has worded this at this point, it is. If there's an allegation of negligence and there are some fact disputes, and I think there are.
Okay.
It's a hard question to answer, Your Honor, because it's combined with what the negligence was. So it has to go back to what the alleged negligence was in this case. And once again, Popovich was about apparent authority. And if there are fact disputes as to that, which there clearly are, we think that's error. So I'm following what the Supreme Court said in this. That's how I'm trying to answer the question. And I see, as always, my time went very quickly, but I will hand this over to counsel. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right, let's hear from counsel for respondent.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Angie Lord, and along with Bailey Fox, we represent Essentia Health in this matter. The district court appropriately granted summary judgment in favor of Essentia Health in this case, distinguishing this case from Popovich and recognizing that there's no genuine issue of material fact that would preclude summary judgment in this matter. As the court is well aware, the appellant did not appeal any of the rulings against Dr. Abdullah. And the court also recognized that it's well established that Dr. Abdullah was not an employee at any time of Essentia Health, and therefore the plaintiff or appellant is not appealing the respondeat superior theory. The only issue before the court is whether or not Judge Hilden properly applied the Popovich decision, and he did. Under Popovich, there are two prongs to the analysis. The first would require that Essentia Health held Dr. Abdullah out as its agent or authorized him to act on its behalf. And secondly, that the appellant actually relied on any manifestations by Essentia Health in selecting Dr. Abdullah to perform her surgery. Respectfully, neither of these prongs were satisfied by Ms. Rock, and Judge Hilden recognized that.
Ms. Lord, would it be a different case if they didn't have the different addresses, and if you went to the Essentia website, it just sort of listed, here are plastic surgeons, and they just list several people, and Dr. Abdullah is one of them. Would that have been enough to get past summary judgment at this stage?
Mm-hmm. No, Your Honor, I don't believe it would, because there needs to be a showing. First of all, Essentia Health, the context, Essentia Health does not provide any healthcare services and does not employ any healthcare providers. This surgery was done in Fargo, and Innovus Health LLC is the only entity that would even employ any physicians. Innovus Health LLC is not even a party in this lawsuit, and Ms. Rock has known since day one, when the answer was served, that Innovus Health LLC is the location where this surgery was performed. So we're even a few steps removed by even talking about Essentia Health. But in any event, assuming Your Honor's hypothetical, if Essentia Health had listed on its website a number of plastic surgeons, including Dr. Abdullah, which it didn't and never did, that still would not be sufficient under the Popovich decision, because the plaintiff would have actually needed to review it and rely upon that website in making her determination to go have surgery with Dr. Abdullah. And the facts are undisputed in this case that that is not the sequence of events. In this case, when you look at the sequence of events, Ms. Rock went to Dr. Abdullah, a well-respected plastic surgeon in the region, specifically went to him at his clinic and considered surgery. She was pregnant, and so she deferred her decision and went back to him again at his clinic, then made the decision that she wanted to have the surgery done by Dr. Abdullah and consented to that. And then Dr. Abdullah says, your surgery is going to be at this location, which is actually an Innovus Health LLC facility. But he said Essentia Health, apparently.
I get all that, but I'm trying to understand Mr. Salita's point. And let me sort of give a different hypothetical. Let's say it was the Mayo Clinic, okay? And it's the same fact scenario. He tells her we're going to the Mayo Clinic, and the Mayo Clinic lists plastic surgeons and it lists Dr. Abdullah as one of them. Wouldn't the average, speaking for myself, I mean, you just kind of think, well, it's the Mayo Clinic. You know, they wouldn't let anybody operate there unless, he passed some test. And therefore, I like Dr. Abdullah, but I really like the fact that, by God, it's the Mayo Clinic. And, that's where people fly from all over the world. And again, sort of dumbing it down to the average kind of patient who doesn't know all these things. But I would think it would be a closer case if it was that, because then I think the person would say, yeah, I'm going to Dr. Abdullah, but I really like the fact that he's affiliated, or he's somehow, in my mind, he's listed as someone who does stuff at Mayo, and Mayo is, the gold standard. So why, if that was the case, wouldn't it be closer to what Mr. Salita's argument is? Sort of like, people don't know much, but, they kind of know what they think they know.
Your Honor, I would say two things to that. First, you have to look at the decision point and reliance. And Popovich requires reliance at the decision point, which is clearly when she went to Dr. Abdullah and made that decision to have surgery with Dr. Abdullah, and the location is secondary. But with your hypothetical, you included two key facts that are not part of Mr. Salita's case. The first is that the physician was identified on any Essentia Health website, which is not true. And secondly, that Ms. Rock actually looked at a website sponsored by Essentia Health that included Dr. Abdullah, which is also not the case. So under those two big distinctions, what you've described is not what we have before us on this record.
Counsel, do you think, I look to see if Popovich has been applied in any context other than emergency medical services. I found one case, a federal district court case, where it was again an emergency room, a broken leg on a soccer field. They said, where do you want to go? He said, I don't care, just get me to an emergency room. And the magistrate in that case recommended that the case go forward because, like Popovich, that guy wasn't selecting his doctor. The emergency room was selecting the doctor and the surgeon for him. And I mean, I'd ask you to address this. I really question whether Popovich goes beyond emergency medical services, because throughout this opinion, there are these references to hospital room services, and not just because all that happened to be the facts, but because in that circumstance, you don't get to pick your doctor. And at one point, there are a couple footnotes which are telling. They said, going to the hospital emergency room is like getting in a taxi cab. You don't pick your driver. I mean, take Uber and those things out, but you get into a yellow cab, you're taking it on faith that the yellow cab company has hired safe drivers. Like, you go to the emergency room, you're taking it on faith that those doctors work for the hospital and they're good doctors. But that's very different than selecting your doctor. And that's what this case seems to get at. They're allowing this expansion because people don't get to select their doctors. They're dependent on the hospital to select the doctor for them. So, I mean, do you see a scenario where this reasoning applies outside of, urgent care or emergency room services? And it could be emergency surgery, but I don't know that this applies when the patient is in a position to make their own selection of their medical provider. And that seems to be what the case says. The patient looked to the hospital rather than a specific doctor for care, and relied on the hospital to select the personnel to provide services. That seems to be very different than saying patient picked a doctor or a surgeon, and in doing so was glad to see that medical provider's affiliation with trusted institutions. That doesn't equate with the trusted institution picked the doctor for the patient, which seems to be at issue in Poppenpitch.
That's spot on, Your Honor. When we evaluate and analyze the Poppenpitch decision, we look to what else is available, what else is out there, how else has this been applied? And there's a clear distinction in healthcare services where a facility has contracted with a group, which I don't think that we can forget about the independent contractor status of the emergency room physicians in the Poppenpitch decision. That was a key piece of the Poppenpitch decision, that there was an independent contractor arrangement with the facility, and that contracted arrangement was with Allina. And so Allina is indeed choosing which physicians would be serving the emergency department.
Oh, look at this.
I would even argue in a case that doesn't involve an independent contractor arrangement, if it's privileges to do procedures, for example, that that's even another step removed from the Poppenpitch decision, which had a contract basis.
Okay, let me draw your attention to something else I'm noticing for the first time in Poppenpitch. Talking about the reliance standard, the second factor. This reliance standard reflects the reality that most people who go to the emergency room do not know which medical professionals will treat them once they arrive. Instead, they rely on the hospitals to select the professionals for them. There's a footnote to that sentence that cites an article, A Look Behind the Closed Doors of the Emergency Room, a medical legal perspective, talking about the independent contractor set up in emergency rooms. And then the Supreme Court actually says, our Supreme Court, in this footnote, by contrast, a claim might fail if the patient went to the emergency room to meet the patient's personal physician or arranged in advance to consult with a particular emergency room doctor. I mean, that's exactly what I'm getting at. If you pick your doctor, you can't blame the hospital. So even if you go to the emergency room, if your doctor's at the emergency room and you say, well, I want to see my doctor, he just happens to be in the emergency room, you lose. I don't see how this case gets past that second factor.
It doesn't, Your Honor. It just doesn't. And I think the crux of this whole case is all this care took place in North Dakota. Dr. Abdullah has a facility, the Plastic Surgery Institute, which is located in North Dakota. Plaintiffs had to find a way to try to get in Minnesota because there's a 2-year statute of limitations in North Dakota and a 4-year statute of limitations in Minnesota. And so the only hook they could possibly find would be to twist an analysis of Poppenpitch to try to get a Minnesota hook. And even under Minnesota's analysis under Poppenpitch, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit on these facts. It's not a situation where Ms. Rock did not know who her physician was or who would be. She specifically chose Dr. Abdullah, and that decision was made. Even if you look at the information that was submitted by Ms. Rock to oppose summary judgment, an exacting eye will see that the dots were never connected. We had a declaration from Ms. Rock that had a few paragraphs. We had an affidavit of counsel. The affidavit of counsel is where the screenshots were included for any websites. And it's clear that the Essentia Health websites did not have anything to do with Dr. Abdullah. So we don't even have screenshots of websites that were part of Ms. Rock's declaration. They were part of counsel's. So it gets very cloudy, but if you take the time to actually look at what the submissions were, Judge Hilden's decision is spot on. not only with the analysis of Popovich and what's required and how this case is distinguishable, but also in sifting through and actually looking at what is the factual basis, what is the evidence that's even been submitted, and that there is not sufficient evidence from which a reasonable jury could ever find in favor of Ms. Rock, because it's built on a lack of foundation from the very beginning. And so I would agree with the court's questioning and analysis that this case is very different on the facts from Popovich, and that Popovich ought not be extended by this court. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Now we'll hear rebuttal argument. And Mr. Salita, I'll just start by saying, I hear your argument about the policy that's embedded and discussed in the opinion about, you know, we don't want sort of fine print, people don't know what they're up against. But I can't help but feeling like that's sort of a little bit of a side bolstering to the argument. And at the end of the day, the standard says the hospital has to pick the provider, the patient not. And then you've got a footnote that says, even if you go to the emergency room, if you're going there to see your doctor who you've picked, there's no claim. So could you address that second part of the test? I mean, I acknowledge there's a concern about fine print, but I don't know that it trumps, you know, the need for the hospital to be picking the doctor that's going to treat the patient. Oh, and you're muted, sir, so you have to unmute, please.
I thought I was going to be unmuted. I appreciate that, Your Honor, and you have to do your job as well. I think where we're seeing this differently is, and this is out of respect to you, you're focused on that, did the hospital pick the doctor? That's not what Popovich talks about. There are footnote discussion, but it talks about apparent authority. I'll go back to it again. This is where obviously we might just be not agreeing.
Well, counsel, I mean, I just got to stop you there. Here's the last paragraph of the opinion. We therefore hold that a plaintiff states a vicarious liability claim against a hospital for the professional negligence of independent contractors in the hospital's emergency room based on a theory of apparent authority if, one, the hospital held itself out as a provider of emergency medical care, and two, the patient looked to the hospital rather than a specific doctor for care and relied on the hospital to select the personnel to provide services. I'm willing to allow you to substitute the room surgical unit for a hospital's emergency room, but then you've got to do it in the second sentence as well. And we'd have to say the patient looked to the surgical unit rather than a specific doctor for care and relied on the surgical unit to select the personnel.
I mean, you can't
ignore that. That's what the case says.
I appreciate that. But when you pick up, would any of us go in for a surgical procedure? In the modern time, you can go, maybe Dr. Abdullah would have a surgical center like many do in the Twin Cities here. In a town like this, there's one or two places. So when my client made the conscious choice, and she didn't blow up an affidavit, she didn't do 12 claims. She said, look, when the doctor told me I was doing this, I went to Essentia's website and they held themselves out as a surgical center. That means not just Abdullah, but like you said, the anesthesiologist, any other care that goes on there.
So that meets the first part of the test. How does she meet the second part of the
test? I think that meets the second part of the test too, Your Honor, because here's the line, that the patient looked to the hospital for care. Care is not just the doctor walking in and cutting her. Care is a surgical center that holds itself out, not just as a surgical center, but a plastic surgery center, and then relied upon the hospital to select. So you're counting... Okay.
But you're reading that out of context. It says the patient looked to the hospital rather than a specific doctor for care. She looked to a specific doctor for care and then agreed to go forward with that doctor once she knew he was going to this particular hospital. I mean, her first decision was to go with Dr. Abdullah.
And this is where I'm taking a step further. She may have said no had she not been comfortable with the hospital. She looked to the hospital. She went what they held themselves out to the public.
What? Isn't that true in every case, though, when somebody decides to have surgery at a location? I mean, my concern, quite frankly, counsel, is that the rule of law that you're advocating for today is that any surgery, any doctor associated with a hospital or a surgery center or who performs any kind of a service is the facility is going to be on the hook. And that is, I think, different than what it says in Popovich. I think that's what you're arguing here today.
I'm not trying to make that argument. I think even Justice Anderson's first line in his dissent, and obviously it's the dissent, but says, today the court announces a rule that makes hospitals liable for the negligent acts of independent medical professionals. That's the sum of it. Then we get to the rule of it, and the rule is what we've been back and forth.
Well, in all fairness to Justice Anderson, I mean, I think he's saying the world's ending, you know, and I would imagine the majority is saying, no, it's not. And for all the reasons that Judge Frisch and Judge Larkin articulated. But I mean, so you're saying because they listed, plastic surgery, that gave your client the confidence to think, oh, okay, it's not just Dr. Abdullah. It's, you know, Ascension knows what they're doing, and at least that's enough to get past summary judgment. What do you do with the fact that there's kind of like different addresses? Is in your mind, is that sort of who cares, or what about that?
It's incredibly disingenuous of the biggest provider in the state besides Mayo to hold themselves out and say, oh, by the way, we don't really employ doctors or people. We just have a building, and we're going to give a different name to different clinics. When if you go on the website, and I won't go off on this and pass my time, but I appreciate 10 seconds here.
Of course.
The when my client's picking who's going to do surgery and the hospital, she's not taking website pictures and printing out. You don't go into any medical thing saying, well, I'm going to print this out in case this happens. This was stuff after the fact that was printed out from my office that was showing Ascension still holds themselves out as this to the public. And that's what the policy behind apparent authority. And with Your Honor, I disagree with you, Judge Larkin. I think this is more about apparent authority than emergency rooms picking a doctor.
Let me tell you what our respected federal magistrate, Tony Leung, said about this in 2021, applying Popovich and allowing a case to go forward. He said, as to the second issue, the hospital, and this is the guy with the broken leg going to the hospital for surgery, the hospital offered no choice to plaintiff in choosing his care providers while he was being treated for his emergency orthopedic needs. Pursuant to the contract between the hospital and St. Cloud Orthopedic, St. Cloud Orthopedic selected Dr. Holian and P.A. Paschke at the relevant time, and they were contracted to work in the hospital. So, I mean, that's it. He had no choice who his doctor was going to be. He had a choice about which hospital he went to, maybe, but once he got there, it was out of his hand. Your client had a choice. She could have picked any surgeon she wanted, and she picked this one. I think that's the distinguishing fact here.
I just don't. I think it's escaping liability to hold yourself out as saying we don't have medical providers here, and then telling the public, but by the way, we have a surgical center with plastic surgery that holds themselves out, and that's just where we disagree, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
Right. Well, thank you. And I appreciate it's a new issue, and we have new ground to cover with this decision from the Supreme Court, and the arguments were well briefed and well presented. And thank you for answering our ruling questions. Apologize.
Yes, I was prepared for it.
We will have a decision for you within 90 days or sooner as required by statute. That concludes this hearing.